Sci-Fi Party Line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat. We have Eric, and we have a newbie guest, Todd.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, very good.
Good. I've been knowing Todd for a while online. I used to have another blog where I, you know, spout nasty things about science fiction shows, and I think we met that way.
Yeah.
To discuss today, to start things off, is Stargate Universe and what we thought about it. Now, I brought Todd on because usually he hates everything. Well, I guess that's
a little mean. I don't hate everything. I just nitpick about everything.
Yeah, that is a difference. Yeah. You actually liked Stargate Universe.
Yeah, I liked it. I think a lot of me liking it comes from just being relieved that it didn't suck.
So, I am not...
Because I was kind of worried about it, but it turned out okay. I did like it.
I thought it sucked.
Really?
I just really didn't like it. Eric?
I guess I'm kind of in the middle, I mean, between the two of you. Because for anything that's a premiere episode of anything, you have to kind of like judge it in a different way and kind of, you know, give it a half pass. And that's what I did. And for an opening episode, it wasn't great for me. It wasn't horrible. I mean, because, you know, like with Next Generation and Encounter at Farpoint, that was not a good episode. But that did not mean that the whole show was going to, you know, suck for the rest of the way.
Make it
so, you know, it was better than Encounter at Farpoint.
I don't know. Todd, did you think this was boring? I thought it was a very boring episode. After I got over the initial hoorah of seeing Jack and Carter and Michael Shanks, it died after 15 minutes for me.
It didn't bore me at all. I liked it all throughout.
What in particular? I mean, because I don't get it, because I hate it.
I don't know. It's tough to pinpoint any one certain thing. I felt like they set up the premise pretty well and that it does have some possibilities, a lot of potential, for storylines. But, I don't know. Like I said, I guess a lot of me liking it comes from just being relieved that it was, that it didn't suck, that it was pretty decent. I don't know.
Do you like the characters? Because to me, they were kind of bland.
Actually, yeah, I do like the characters. I like Rush,
okay.
Dr. Nicholas Rush. Mm-hmm. He's kind of mysterious. He kind of says some things that can kind of rub you the wrong way. But he does have some leadership qualities. I also get the feeling that maybe he knows more than he's letting on.
Yeah, that's what everybody seems to think.
Yeah, and so I think there might be something to that because when everybody was flying through the Stargate in the very beginning, if you notice, he just kind of gets up, goes up the stairs to that catwalk, looks down on everybody, and just kind of half smiles. Like he knows something's going on. He knows that it's a big deal, and he's kind of glad to be there.
Yeah, looks like he looks really pleased with himself.
Yeah. And so, so there's something mysterious there. Colonel Everett Young, I think it's too soon to tell with him. You're right about him being bland simply because there's not much to him.
Yeah.
At least not.
Yeah.
I like Matthew Scott.
See, I don't even remember who these folks are. I remember there was like the G.I. Joe main cute guy, then Dr. Rush, and then the Hurley type of guy.
Well, Matthew Scott, that's the lieutenant that basically kind of took command of everything.
Yeah.
Because Young was out of commission.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of refreshing that they have a younger officer take command, because in Stargate in the past, it's always been older officers or older scientists, you know, taking command of everything. And it's kind of nice to see somebody who's younger who kind of knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he'll keep for 10 years and not start sagging in places.
And then the medic, Johansson, they really didn't give her too terribly much to do, but I kind of like the way she seems very comfortable with everybody and how everybody seems to know her. I almost wonder if she's got deeper relationships with characters than they're revealing right away. Mm. Eli Wallace, I was really afraid that that guy would annoy me, and he didn't. Did he annoy you?
He just reminds me of too many people, and he just is not Rodney McKay. He's just not Rodney, and that's the only thing that I really notice about him, and he's just, I don't know. I'm not into him. Eric, what about these characters for you?
Well, yeah, none of them are really speaking to me in any way. And Dr. Rush, I just don't even like him.
Oh my God.
This guy is totally in his head, living in his head, and there's not really much to like about him at all. And maybe that's the way he's supposed to come off in these early episodes, but I could care less for him. And Eli's okay. I mean, he doesn't really bother me, but true, he's nothing special. And then all the other characters are just archetypes or whatever. You know, nothing really stands out this time. I mean, definitely there could be potential down the road. And I mean,
yeah, but isn't the purpose of a premiere just kind of get you? Maybe
get you into the story, I would say, but not necessarily the characters, because
the story was weak.
It was true, but it's hard because all I can do is compare it to the miniseries of Battlestar Galactica, because that's obviously the show that seems most similar to this show, and they actually did it right the way they kind of introduced the new characters in the BSG miniseries. But that's rare. I don't think that's a common thing in many shows as far as setting up the characters, especially because there's so many characters to set up. Because, you know, like in the SG-1 premiere, there was obviously really only four characters, and we kind of already knew about two of them because of the movie.
Right.
So that was a lot easier. Because, for instance, that one character, the medic, TJ Johansson.
Is this the blonde lady? Because I don't know anything. Yeah. Thank you.
It's
horrible because for me to refer to her as that. But
they kind of shoehorned some of her character development into the very first hour when they were still on the planet, and I just thought it was completely unnecessary. Like, I felt they can develop her later, you know, when the time comes, later down the road.
Maybe she's going to be the Sam Carter.
Maybe. But it just felt totally shoehorned in the first hour. Like, it just... Because I was kind of like trying to follow pacing and whatnot, and I was just like, really? Do we have to address her personal life right now? Like it's just the first hour, you know, we have plenty of time, I'm assuming.
So what about the...
And interesting...
What?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, they had the token, here I am for the first episode, and now I'm gone, character.
Oh, the dad.
The censor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Who's a somewhat profile character actor, but... You know, and even though he was, you know, the token, see you later, I wouldn't be surprised if for some ridiculous reason we see his face later. I don't know why I say that, but...
I don't like you right now. I don't want to see him again.
I'll admit, I have that on my list of things I didn't like. As soon as they set up the idea that somebody was going to have to press the button from the inside, and you thought this guy is injured, and nowhere online do you ever see his name as being on the main character list, I knew that he was the one.
Yeah.
So that was totally.
Yeah.
So what about the premise of the ninth chevron? Because I just thought if this is what the show is going to be about, the ninth chevron, and I couldn't even really comprehend what they were saying and why it was so important for them to test this and how they had all this free reign to pull all these people in. And was that important, or did any y'all get that? Either one of you guys, what was going on with the reason why they were in this position?
I wasn't paying attention fully enough to fully explain to you right now. All I know is that whatever that business was about was basically the only reason I think they emphasized the ninth chevron was because that's what makes the show possible. To put it bluntly. I mean, that's the only reason why there was emphasis. And I know, because
a year before this show even came out, when it was still, when they just, because they were talking about this like almost 1 or 2 years ago when they first mentioned this new series, and the creators, they just kept harping on about, ooh, Ninth Chevron, like it was like this greatest thing that we're going to reveal to you, and it's like this, I mean, they've been selling this idea like it would be this super cool revelation for like the last 2 years now, and I was just like, really, ho-hum. It's just the reason, it's just the excuse to set up this whole insanely ridiculous premise.
What about you, Tom?
Because when they were showing that scene in the stellar cartography, just, I mean, I'm sure they're named after Star Trek, the stellar cartography scene when they're showing like, whoa, this is where we started, and you know, we didn't just go this far, but we kept going further and further, and oh, there's Pegasus, but we're still going further and further. And because if you know anything about astrology, when they were explaining how far they went, I mean, Star Trek Voyager just went down to the corner store. These guys went way out of town, okay? Because it was phenomenal, almost to, you know, to the point of ridiculousness, how insanely distant they went. Because if, I don't know, when they start going onto planets and everything, if we start seeing a lot of humanoid races, they're going to really have to explain that. Because it makes sense in the established Stargate universe why we see humanoid, you know.
And they speak species. English.
Oh, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, we always agree with that.
Really don't talk about that. We don't go there. But still, they do explain why there's humanoids there, obviously, because of the gold and all that. But if there are humans littering this distant, distant galaxy, they got a lot of explaining to do.
Todd, what about you and the Ninth Chevron business?
I'll admit, Eric is right. I mean, that was basically just the excuse to get him on the ship. And it was kind of confusing, you know, why exactly it was so hard to achieve the Ninth Chevron. And
they had to put it in a video game and all. What was that?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, and as soon as he cracks it, he goes there to the Icarus base, and a day later they get him attacked. And that part seemed a little overly convenient because it's like, okay, the only place they can go is through the Stargate, and of course the Stargate, they just happened to just now get it going, and of course it's going to lead to the ship. So yeah, I'll admit, all of that is both overly convenient and not well explained, but I don't know, that's, like I said, that's just one of a few things that I didn't like about it, and that I can kind of overlook, because the first episode is so much about just setting up the premise, so.
Okay.
Eli Wallace, whatever you guys think that I did, I swear you got the wrong guy.
We need your help, Eli.
And if I don't?
We'll beam you up to our spaceship.
Other conveniences would be the, what do they call it, the Kinos and the,
I don't see
like
the point
sacred
for
stone.
Yet.
Huh?
I don't see the point for the little Kino?
Well, exactly what they said in the episode. I mean, well, actually, they serve two purposes. One is to, like they said, to use as probes to explore, you know, new worlds.
Oh, right, so
they
don't have the big thing they used to send through.
Yes, that's the first obvious reason. And the second obvious reason is so they can have great close-ups of characters when they're dying, like, where no one else could be. Like, they did it with the Senator, and they did it numerous times where, oh, look, they have a Kino that can give us this great, you know, live-action view of whatever's going on somewhere else. So they serve that purpose. And then there's those sacred stones or whatever, ridiculousness.
Sacred stones?
Yes.
I missed that.
Dr. Rush had them stored away in his little silver case so he could still make contact with Earth.
I thought they didn't work.
They didn't actually show it.
Oh.
Because he told everybody that he spoke to General MacGyver.
General O'Neill.
He said supposedly that O'Neill put him in charge, but they didn't actually show that, so we don't actually know that that's true. But they did show him taking over the body. It's funny because none of these characters' names, I know him from other shows. One of the I thought he took the body of the guy from X-Files, from the Lone Gunman crew. That's how I know him. He's one of the lone gunmen, but he plays a different character.
There's a lone gunman on it? There's no lone gunman.
I thought that one guy, the one who's like an analyst or something, because I've seen him in SG-1, and I thought I saw him in the first episode. He was like a technical person working in the Pentagon.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about. He was Sam's like lab rat or something. But he wasn't.
Yeah, but he wasn't one of the lone gunmen.
No, he was. No, he was not a lone gunman. But I know who you're talking about now. No, he's not.
My bad.
But I know who you're talking about. He does look similar to him.
Yeah, but that Sergeant Walter Harriman, he's the guy in Stardate SG-1 who always dials the gate.
No, he's talking about Sam's lab partner, the little geeky guy. He has on glasses. He's kind of heavy set.
Oh, now I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he kind of looks like one of the long gunmen, but he's not one.
Yeah, Rush took over his body with the sacred stone, supposedly.
Oh, these are the stones that Claudia... No, not Claudia. The Farscape people, when they were
on... Claudia.
Claudia Black and Wichadooly, they used these stones and they went to somebody else's body. Are these those stones?
Well, the way you explained it, that's what they do. Yeah, because I don't know, because I didn't see that Farscape business you're talking about.
Well, no, it's on Stargate, but I'm talking about the Farscape characters.
No, I understand that. I just haven't seen those episodes yet.
Oh, okay.
But yes, that's what it does. You inhabit someone else's body. Like, he supposedly inhabited that guy's body on Earth. Using the stones.
Did he do something with the body? I forgot.
But they didn't show that. Oh. They just showed him getting into his body, and then they cut away. And the next time they show Dr. Rush, he's like, yeah, I just talked to O'Neill. He put me in charge. But they didn't show that.
See that? That just was so confusing. They needed to show... they've done movies in 2 hours and done a very good job. I don't understand why this pilot was so hard. Because it bored me. It was depressing. We're not going to get cool aliens like the Gwauld... or the Ray.
Well, we don't know that yet.
No, they say it in the wiki. They say it in the wiki.
Oh, did they?
This is going to be totally BSG character driven. So, Todd, what do you think about that? Wow. What do you think about that, Todd?
Ooh, I don't know about that.
That's what the wiki says.
One thing I kept wondering throughout the episode is, if they're really stranded out there in another galaxy, how are they going to get food and supplies, clothing, water, all kinds of stuff that they need to survive?
Random classing of planets.
Well, see, that's what they said. They said that the computer, whatever, is always going to try to take them to a place that will have something that they need. See, again, another convenience. And they're saying there was 4 habitable planets nearby, but the computer chose that planet out of the 4, supposedly because it would have something that they need.
And they get a countdown clock.
Another ridiculous contrivance.
So you sure you like this show, Todd?
I did. You guys might be changing my mind. But,
Gosh, yeah, we're
not. No, but I mean, but still, it's the first episode. There's a lot of hokiness. I mean, again, if you go to the first episode of SG-1 or many shows.
No, that first episode.
There's a lot of half-cooked ideas going on. In these earlier episodes.
Yeah, but they were fun and they brought you back. I mean, I don't even want to watch this again.
Oh, I'll definitely watch it again.
Well, I'll watch it because you watch it and you'll make me watch it and I'll have to talk about it, but that's the only reason.
But, I mean, it definitely. I'm sure they have other ideas, you know, waiting to unfurl. Plus, you know, we don't know how much of a role Lou Diamond may play in the future.
Did he say anything? I keep asking people, did he say anything?
But not really. He had a real quick line, but it was like a throwaway thing that he said. I heard his voice. I know that. But he only had like one little brief something like a throwaway
line. So is he supposed to be like in the crew permanently, or is he just like somebody who's going to die conveniently as well?
Wait, I thought he was still... He's on the ship, is he?
Yeah.
He is? I didn't ever see...
Todd,
are you talking about
Lou Diamond Phillips' character?
I don't think so.
I don't recall. He's not on the ship because the colonel is the highest ranking person, and I believe Lou Diamond's higher ranked than him.
I thought he fell through the gate with everybody else, or did he hang back?
I didn't.
Oh no!
Actually, he
was piloting an F-302.
Oh,
one of the fighters.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
That's I did exactly. not. Huh.
I forgot that is what he did.
Wow, then I really wasn't paying attention. I was drinking. I'd have to admit.
See, and that's why I was wondering how they're going to incorporate him in the future, since he didn't actually travel to the ship.
Yeah, and in fact, that's one of the few things they gave him to do. I think he was in the dinner scene, and then he was in the fighter, and maybe one or two other places. But yeah, they didn't give him a whole lot to do. And I can't tell from the information online whether he's a recurring character or a main cast member. I can't tell you.
Well, the way they were showing his picture around, it just made me feel like he was supposed to be a cast member. And now, because he didn't say anything throughout the whole premiere, I don't know. And he's just one of the main reasons that I was watching, honestly, because I don't know anybody else. I don't know.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to say about this. The final thoughts about Stargate Universe, guys. Go, Eric.
Well, it looked good. It looked sleek for something with the Stargate name. But I'm definitely just going to wait and see. You know, I can't judge it too harshly just on the opening. You know,
okay.
I don't think that'd be fair. So it's a wait and see for me.
All right, you, Todd?
I'm the same way. I mean, I'll admit I'm not blown away by it, but I'm definitely intrigued enough to keep tuning in.
Okay.
And overall, I did like it. So, I felt good about it until now.
Sorry, we're like that. Flash Forward. Everyone saw Flash Forward. I saw the second episode of Flash Forward today, and it grew on me with the second episode. I guess what you guys are saying about premieres, because I hated it, the premiere. I really hated it. And then the second
episode. What did you hate about the premiere?
It was just too Lost. It was too much like Lost. Everything, Jack, I mean, the main guy felt like Jack. The incident felt like the plane crash. The kangaroo jumping around. Everybody depending on one main character, all the way the characters broke out to me, it just felt really Losty, and I didn't like it at all because I wanted something different and fresh, and it seems like they came with a different and fresh with the second episode. Thoughts? Todd?
I feel like they did develop it a little bit more with the second episode. I kind of feel like this may not have the same problem that Lost does. You know, a lot of people have complained that Lost kind of develops too slowly and it takes forever for mysteries to get revealed.
Yeah.
I already felt like they made a pretty good progress just between the first and second episode of moving things forward at a pace that if they keep it up, you know, we'll get some mysteries revealed maybe halfway through the season or at least by the end of the season.
Yeah. It does move. It doesn't feel as strained as Lost does. So I do like that because we know something happened and we kind of know what's going on, but we still need to know who's behind it. So, yeah. Eric.
Plus, they've given the date. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Given the date what?
They've given the date of the Flash Forward as being April 29th, 2010. So unless they do like Lost did where, you know, Lost spread about 100 days of island time into, you know, three or four seasons. If they don't do that, then April 29th will be right around the end of the first season. And it could be that they'll actually show what happened in the Flash Forwards in real time.
That's
interesting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. I didn't think that far into it. Like, what is going to happen when that date passed in real life? Because, you know, people are going to make a big deal about that.
And if they do that, it makes me wonder what they'll do if the show goes into a second or third season. It kind of makes me wonder, will there be more Flash Forwards?
Oh, gosh, no. Eric, what you thinking?
Yeah, it was Lost-like, like you say, but I didn't let that trouble me, you know, because it wasn't, although it was copying Lost in those ways, it still wasn't copying everything about Lost, like the whole premise or anything close to that. And, oh, like I told you, there was a little Lost Easter egg in the first 6 minutes of it, which I thought was interesting.
What was that again? Lost Easter egg?
There was a scene at the around the close to the 6 minute mark of the first episode, and the main character was sitting in his car, and outside the window of his car there was like a billboard on the wall for Oceanic Airlines. So I was like, oh, okay, so I think one could assume they're in the Lost universe. I'm sure that's not important, but whatever.
Is this written by the same person or something?
No. But it is on ABC. And like I said, I'm sure ABC is hoping that one of their sci-fi shows this year is going to be able to like take the torch of Lost once it's gone. You know, so I'm sure, yeah, ABC is trying to come up with something to carry on with their sci-fi audience into the future. But the show did remind me for some reason of the show Jericho. I don't know if you watched
it. Yeah, I love Jericho.
But because of the whole disaster-like situation and everything, and it just had a world or nationwide, even worldwide disaster. It had a Jericho feel to me a little bit. You know, everyone trying to, you know, everyone having to work together to get through this. But, I mean, I was thinking it was going to be horrible before I watched it. I went in thinking it was going to be going down in flames. But it did not go down in flames for me. It was fine. I didn't have any major problems. For some reason, in the first episode, I was completely distrustful of Sulu. Cho. I don't know the characters. I would have to call everybody by their name and something else. But Harold, I had to. I mean, he was. For some reason, I didn't trust him when he was saying the whole thing about how he didn't have a flash forward and everything. For some reason,
no, just he's gonna the first die. Episode,
I know that's what they're saying, but I had a feeling that maybe he knew that he was part of the conspiracy from his flash forward, and that's why he didn't want to say anything.
I just didn't trust him.
And the way it seemed like he was up to no good when we didn't know where he was during the first episode. Like I just, and then the way he was like telling the main character, "Oh no, it's not. Oh, that can't even." You know, he was basically discounting everything the main character was surmising. And I was like, I don't trust this guy. I don't know.
Think of
it. In the second episode, I didn't get that feel so much from his character. But in the first episode, I really did not trust him. It just seemed like he was up to no good to me. But, I don't know. Yeah, it looks like they have a pretty good idea to take them through a whole season. Yeah, beyond the first season, I have no idea. But... you know, I'll watch it, you know, and it looks like it has pretty strong numbers to sustain itself from getting canceled. So it looks like this will be around, at least for one season.
Todd, how are you feeling about this show? Do you like the premise? Do you think it's going to last? Do you even like it?
I do like it. It's a little bit hard to tell so far. The first episode, I felt like it needed to be 2 hours, though. I don't know why, but it just felt like it was too short.
It wasn't 2 hours?
No, it was just one.
Oh, okay. It felt like
because I think it came on. Yeah, I think it came on the same night as Grey's Anatomy. And Grey's Anatomy got the 2 hour premiere. Yeah. I like it. I like that there's a diverse cast of characters and there's a lot going on. And you're right, it does have a Lost feel because they're immediately going into the thing about do people have free will and can they change their destiny or are things going to happen the way the flash forwards say they're going to happen?
Yeah, that's good.
And I'll agree with Eric that the guy's name is Agent No.
Right.
John Cho. I'll agree that it seems suspicious that when the other character, Agent Benford, when he was getting out of the car, apparently No was already out of the car and way far away, and it makes me wonder, okay, if he was able to get out of the car and he seemed okay, why did he walk so far away from the car instead of helping?
You know what? It looks like he was awake. It looks like he was awake during the flash forward, the blackout period.
I didn't even think of that.
Now that you bring up that, because I recall that, you know, that's exactly what happened, and now that you...
He didn't get. I thought maybe he just got thrown from the car, and that's why he was.
Yeah, see, there you go. For some reason, I think that's what it is. He was awake. That's what I think. He was awake during the flash forward for who knows what reason.
I think it's possible, but I also agree with you about him in the second episode. In the second episode, he seemed to be a lot more genuine. I mean, he seemed genuinely concerned, and so it's hard to tell if he is in on it. He's doing a pretty good acting job.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, at the time when they filmed it, the actor probably didn't even know at that point. Well,
yeah, that's true.
But you know, but now that you bring up, now that you remind me about him being really far away from the accident and everything,
that
that seems like the logical explanation. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he's in on the, you know, the devious plot. But it does signal to me that he was awake for whatever.
Or maybe
reason.
He got up before his partner and tried to run after the bad guys they were chasing before.
I don't think so.
No, gosh, no hope for you, huh?
I don't think so.
And what about the doctor? Do you guys think that she really is going to cheat on her husband?
Oh, sure, painting that picture.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And the daughter, what is the connection with the daughter and his...
That for some reason they were together in a extremely... Well, they were together during an extremely stressful situation that has not been fully revealed. But at the time of their flash forward, she must have been in some very distressing situation that we have yet to discover.
Yeah, and when they first ask her about her flash forward, she says that there were no more good days. I mean, I'll admit that kind of seems lost-like, too, kind of being a little vague.
Yeah, she was being a little Walt. She was being a little Walt.
I'd like to see more Seth MacFarlane. That was...
He was in that? Oh, yes, he sure was.
Yeah, I was like totally taken... it was unexpected by me, but it was welcome.
Yeah. He had on a lot of makeup. I didn't recognize him at first.
but the big question to me is, are these things like predetermined destiny, or can you change the future? That's the big question, really.
I want to say, were these things planted? But it seems like that would be very hard to do with like the population of the planet. So
Yeah, true.
Well, flash forward, I might give it a chance. I really hated it the first time around. But I think I will give it a chance because the characters grew on me in the second episode, especially with like the boss. He's saying he was on the can in his flash forward.
And that was very funny. That was welcome, comedic, whatever.
I think that.
That was very. I enjoyed that whole sequence. That was like the one part of the second episode. I was like, oh, yes, this is really funny.
Yeah.
And I think it's good that they didn't give every single character something important in the future.
Yeah.
Like, you know, one person's cheating, one person's working on the investigation, and guys with guns are coming in, and somebody else might be dead. It's kind of nice to know that at least one character there is doing something mundane.
Both times. That was funny. So, final thoughts on Flash Forward, Eric?
It's another thing to fill an hour that I... That I'm okay with. I mean, I won't hate watching it, but I'll keep with it and see where it goes, see where it takes us.
And final thoughts on Flash Forward, Todd?
I'm the same way. I'm definitely curious about it. Looks like it's got a good cast, good production quality.
Yes.
And I think I've been watching enough of Lost on DVD that I think I've trained my brain to think in cryptic messages and stuff like that. Not necessarily that I can figure them out, but just that I can accept them and kind of go with them.
Yeah.
I will be curious if they explain why there's a kangaroo hopping down the street.
Oh, God. Did we see the kangaroo in the second episode? I don't think so.
I think that was just in the first one.
Yeah.
No, but I think they did show it at the end of the first episode when they showed like little flash scenes of the whole season. We saw I think we saw other scenes of the kangaroo in that like first season teaser that they showed at the end of the premiere, I believe.
Okay. We are going to move along to Dollhouse, which Eric described earlier as Meh House.
I'll go along with that.
The first episode, season two, this is? Yes, season two. Hated the premiere.
Yes.
Hated the premiere. The second episode kind of made me cry for some reason. It seemed like Eliza Dushku was kind of acting there. or something. Something happened, and I don't know. I like the second episode more than the first. Anybody else have anything good to say about this
show? No, not hardly anything positive. Okay, the small positives I have are in the first episode, completely could have cared less for the main plot, but I thought there was good character development with Topher and Whiskey. And Whiskey has become a lot more important character to me after the end of season one and going into the premiere of Dollhouse. I like the character development. Everything else I could have just done without. And then also in this second episode, there was a tiny bit of character development here and there, and I like that part, those aspects as well. But then the main story, no.
Whiskey, I forgot. So she is a doll, and they're going to do what with her? Because she was being weird in the first episode, and then, I don't know, I think I stopped caring, and I don't know what's going on with her.
Whiskey is the doctor, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Correct, female doctor.
What happened to her at the end? Is she still a doctor? Are they going to wipe her? What? Do we know? Or no?
Didn't they show her driving away?
Oh,
but she was.
Yes.
But she was just taking the day out. She wasn't like going away for good. The way they set it up in the premiere, they made it seem like, oh, she just like she's leaving now, and that's the way they, you know, artistically, directorially tried to make it seem. Because she left that note, and he opened it, and she says, I'm going for a run, or something.
I've run out of ways to stop leaving the house, or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
She said, I'm going out, like, it made it seem like she was going away, and then he read the bottom of the note, and she said something like, just for a bit, or I'll be back. And so, it was just like a red herring, or faux pas, whatever. They made it seem like she was running away, but actually, she was just taking him up on his advice, and just going out for leisure time, which like apparently she never does or did or anything.
Well, how can they let her walk around? She remembers who she is, what she's done, blah, blah, blah. Why haven't they neutralized that situation? Because it seems like a loose cannon situation to me.
I do not know.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a flaw in the show is that they got too many loose cannons running around.
True.
Because Echo seemed like a major loose cannon. Of course, I think there are some aspects of Echo that they don't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it seems like too many things in the processes are faulty, and yet they just keep, you know, all these people active. I don't get it.
I think, yeah, they don't know that she's malfunctioning that much. When the second episode, they know that something's wrong with her. I think making her lactate was kind of distasteful. I wasn't that into that at all. But
I didn't care one way or the other about that.
I don't know. It was just gross.
I think you might have gone too far.
Yeah.
But, okay, maybe, you know, whatever you feel about the lactation, but the whole point of it, I don't know, I missed the joke. But
I'm just laughing at you, dude.
But the whole point of it, though, not the lactation, but just the fact that Topher was able to make it happen, this, for me, directly tied into episode 13 of season 1 that you hate.
Why you gotta call me out like that?
Because, I'm just saying, because that seemed like, if there was one thing to take away story-wise, plot-wise, from the second episode, it was that, see, this is the beginning of how we get to what we saw in episode 13. Because...
And I haven't seen that episode. Can y'all spoil it, or do you not want to?
Basically, it takes place approximately 10 years in the future, and the entire world is basically run amok. And it looks very similar to, were you familiar with Dark Angel with Jessica Alba?
Oh yeah, it was like that.
Yes, it was. A very dystopian, like, you know, near future, but not completely Mad Max, but, you know, getting towards Mad Max, you know. It's a very Dark Angel type of future world where, you know, there's chaos everywhere. It looks like it's going to, like, for instance, like Terminator, like future timeline, but not that far gone, but complete chaos, and it's all because of the dollhouses, supposedly.
Just imagine humans versus zombies, but zombies being dolls. And...
Yeah, but see, it all started or somehow because the dollhouse... They somehow started augmenting people and
somehow giving them powers or doing something. We don't really. It's not really clear.
Did you listen to Seven Son, J.C. Hutchins' book at all, Todd, where they had the side jack and the where you could just kind of no. Okay, well, never mind.
Yeah, but see, but it's almost like Topher. Like this is the seeds of that. You know, Topher being able to enhance human abilities. See that, you know, that looks like that's supposedly, you know, going to lead us down this path to, you know, a bleak future, supposedly, where everything gets way out of
hand. It sucked, in my opinion. But Eric loved it.
I didn't love it. I never said I loved it. I just didn't have a problem with it.
No, you were in love with it.
To me, the first episode was kind of confusing. And I actually saw all of the first season, and I'm like, okay, why am I confused? It's almost like I needed a recap or something.
I felt confused, too, because I don't know, for some reason I didn't respond to Alpha and what happened there. I don't know, it kind of seemed kind of weak to me, and then...
Yeah, that was horrible.
See?
Wow. See? I liked it. I totally liked episodes 11 and 12 of the first season, the last two that they aired.
No.
I was completely down with those episodes. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought they were kind of weak. And then I do agree with you that coming into the second season, I was just like, what? Okay, what now? What's going on?
But what was confusing in the season premiere?
I can't remember. I don't care enough to. But anyway, totally Todd. Huh?
No, and I'm go ahead.
Go ahead, Noah.
Well, I was just getting ready to say, I'm exactly the same way about the first episode. I saw it just last week. I've already forgotten most about it. It wasn't very memorable. It was confusing while I was watching it. The only good thing I will say about it is that it featured the ensemble cast more, because I'm not that fond of the Echo character. And so I like the fact that it focused a little bit on everybody instead of a whole lot on her. And that's the main thing that I didn't like about the second episode, is it went back to mostly being her. And I don't know, she's just not connecting for me.
Well, two guys do not like Eliza Dushku.
She's horrible. I've said this since day one when we brought up Dollhouse, and I'll say it forever. She's horrible. I can't stand her. And now that I learned from our last episode when we discussed Dollhouse, when it came up, and I noticed she is the executive producer on the show,
Did you know that, Todd, that she is executive producer?
Yes.
That's weird, isn't it? That's because very
horrible.
WB.
Because she and Joss Whedon kind of co-created it in a way, didn't they? Or at least they discussed it. Like, he's probably credited the single creator, but they discussed it beforehand.
Yes, and I...
She's not writing it, is she?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
But still, though, she gets to make decisions and have a lot of input, and that's just too much for me. I cannot stand her. You know, everyone else I'm okay with to some degree... Like Topher,
I don't mind her.
Elo's okay, and you know, the new security guy, he's cool. I'm okay with it. And Sierra even doesn't bother me. Victor, everyone's fine. Like Whiskey, you know, they're all fine. But then Echo, no, I just can't even look at her. I don't like the way she talks. I don't like the way she delivers her lines. I don't like the way she acts.
Okay, Eric. Okay, shut it down.
Almost no redeeming qualities for me. Just watching the show. I did better when she was Faith in the early seasons of Buffy because you didn't really like Faith because you weren't supposed to like her. And that was perfect. See? That worked out perfect.
Mm. See, I didn't even like her Faith that much.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why. I mean, I guess she played that role well, but I didn't like the character that much. And then since then, it seems like everything she plays is Faith.
Yeah, it does.
When she gets a personality implanted, it seems like it's just Faith acting like somebody else.
That's pretty bad. Are we saying chick can't act? And why does she have... Are we the only people that sees this? I mean, she has a TV show, for crying out loud.
I don't know what it is.
Whiskey. Did someone say that to you? To call me that? You were number one. Yes. I don't remember the rest. Alpha cut up my face. Do you remember that?
Why?
So you could be number one.
Am I?
So do we think think it's going to get better when chick from Terminator comes.
Summer Glau.
Summer Glau. Thank you, Eric.
But I think there are good episodes to be seen in season two, but the ratings are so down in the basement.
Did they go down, or did they were they've always been horrible. Down?
No, they've reached new lows with season two. They've reached new lows because they were already, you know, questionable season one, but now they've just gone for rock bottom. And what was I going to say? I think there may be good episodes to come in season two, but I think the ratings are going to be so horrible that few people are even going to see those good episodes nor even care. That, wow. Unless something remarkable happens with viewers. Not with the show, because something remarkable could happen with the show and it still gets canceled.
Summer Glau.
But, what did Apollo...
Well, she's been on all the major sci-fi shows that's been canceled, so maybe she's like a death angel.
But as much as I like her and everything that many people do, she'll probably just be like a one episode, guest star, just like Apollo was in the first episode. And what did Apollo do for the show?
Jack.
Pretty much nothing. Exactly. And so what is Summer going to do?
I heard that she was going to be like recurring.
Well, I know. Well,
Todd, did you hear this?
I just know she's going to be on there, but I don't remember how many episodes.
I just know what was said on our show whenever we spoke about it, and someone said that she was going to be the Topher role in a different Dollhouse.
Now, that does sound like one episode or two.
Yeah, she, it could be more than one, but it wouldn't be like every episode, So, yeah, and even if it is great, and it might very well be, I don't think anyone's going to, first of all, see it. Because I saw tweets from people saying, wow, I've hung with Dollhouse this long, but I'm done. I've seen tweets after the second episode aired. And like, oh, well.
But it made me cry. I cried like a little girl.
Oh, in that case. Take back everything I said. Bring it back.
Oh, Eric. what do we think? Were you saying, Todd?
Yeah, you guys were asking whether she was writing the show.
Yeah.
Faith.
Yeah.
She hasn't written any episodes, but I'm looking ahead in Wikipedia, and the fourth episode of the season is supposed to be directed by Jonathan Frakes.
Oh.
Riker.
Yeah, Riker.
Yeah, and co-written by Joss Whedon's brother and sister-in-law.
What?
Yeah, apparently they're writers on the show.
What type of crap is this?
I don't know exactly who those people are off the top of my head, but I know like when Josh did Dr. Horrible single on blog, he got like his brothers involved.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
yeah, it might not be bad. It might be good.
If they have Dr. Horrible, it'll be great.
Yeah, hope maybe.
No,
I don't know. Well, I'm not sure that I want to see it canceled because you don't want to see people lose jobs and blah blah blah. But I don't know if it's watchable anymore. I mean, it's like we keep giving it passes for I'm not sure why. Why do we give this show passes?
I'm not giving it anything except apathy, but I will watch it the rest of the way until it's done. But seriously, out of the 13 episodes last season, the last, I want to say maybe five or six, the last five or six of the first season, I was totally willing to watch it. You know, all those episodes were totally fine with me. The story kept getting bigger and slightly bigger and grander. Like, the scope of things was getting bigger and bigger for me.
But it's not like that now for you with these two episodes?
And they completely... I thought they would carry that forward going into the second season. Completely reverted back to the first five episodes of season one, which I loathed completely. They completely went back to that model. And that's why I feel betrayed right now, because
yeah,
I thought we were going to
so
keep...
Good.
I thought we were going to keep going with bigger, better, grander things, and now we've taken steps backwards, and I'm like, this is the worst possible time you could have done that. You know, when the show's really, really shaky right now, and to take a step backwards and just be like, no.
So what do you think about the fate of the show, Todd, or why do you think we're giving it passes, or it's dragging. I mean, what is wrong with, why is this not hitting?
I don't know. Like, I mean, it's kind of confusing because I still don't understand why it survived instead of
Terminator.
Yeah, I don't get that, first of all. So other than that, I really don't know. I don't know if Fox is trying to make up for lost time since they canceled Firefly and they don't want a bad reputation again. I don't know, because it's not hitting on all cylinders. And it's getting bad ratings and getting worse. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe they felt like they did owe Joss Whedon one full season of something. And maybe that's why they thought, okay, we'll give a second season a try. But yeah, unless it picks up in the next episode or two, maybe it won't make it to a third.
What do we think could happen that would make this show rock? I don't have an answer for it. I thought maybe.
Oh, I know. That's easy. We already answered that question last time.
We did?
Get rid of Echo. The show rocks suddenly. Suddenly the show rocks.
Because I would like to see more of Sierra and Victor.
I think they bore me a little too, so.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing more of them or even other actors that we haven't seen yet.
I like Millie.
Like I said, yeah, she was okay, yeah. I would just like to see more of an ensemble.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Dollhouse is on life support. Any last words for that, guys? Because I don't feel like getting depressed even further with that show. Eric, no. Anything?
I'll just say, though, I'm sure they're going to have a few episodes that I'm going to like. They're probably going to make some great episodes that make me really like the show, which is just going to be worse when it gets canceled.
What about you, Todd?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I don't know. What do you think? Something, something, Dollhouse, let's wrap it up. Any last words?
I hope it gets better, and I'll keep trying it, but it's not priority watching.
Yeah,
I try to be my best. Good for you. You're done. Oh, be your best. No one is their best in here. Echo, don't talk like that here. It isn't safe. Where is it safe?
On that note, guys, we're going to wrap up the Sci-Fi Party Line. I want your feedback, so please pick up the phone and give us a call at 773-336-2686. I want to thank Todd for coming on the show. We'll put a link. Maybe we can find you on Facebook or Twitter. You have a Twitter username?
Yes, Todd W. N-N-C.
Okay. And Eric, go ahead and give it to us, your Twitter stuff.
Bullet33 on Twitter.
All right.
All day.
And leave us your comments on scifipartyline.com and leave us a review on iTunes. And we'll see you at the party next time. Bye.
Wow. So there you have it. 3 not-so-raving reviews by us. I guess to put myself in a better mood, I'll play out the rest of today's episode with a song to remind me of Joss Whedon's greener pastures back in 2002. Until next time, buena salud.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. Can't take the sky from me.
Let me type. Dude, you are killing me.
Grr, arg.